Okay, good evening, everyone. We tonight want to spend a few minutes looking at a lesson that I hope will be of encouragement to all of us as we strive to live close to Almighty God and to never give up on our faith. And that we want to encourage us to so live our lives that we live a repentant life. That we are encouraged in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 that we should examine ourselves to ensure that we are in the faith. And so it is important that we check ourselves to ensure that we are faithful to Almighty God. Now tonight I want to share with you on the subject, or if I'm going to title the lesson, I'll entitle it, Christians Can, Have, and May Fall, But. Christians can, have, and may fall, but. And if we think back to the time as Christians that we embraced Christianity, then for all of us, there was a sense of happiness and joy at being a Christian. In fact, when we scan and look at persons who come into the fold, then we hear terms like they gladly received the word. We can recall the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, that having been exposed to the gospel and getting the chance to embrace it to baptism, then he went on his way rejoicing. And I can still recall the comments when we formed that circle about 2 weeks ago with Chad and Lester. And the point was made that at this very point in time in heaven, there is rejoicing. Because every sinner that comes to God, comes to repentance, then heaven, the angels are in rejoicing. We are encouraged not to forget our first love. Because a lot of times we come into the church with such joy and zest, and over time it wanes. But becoming a Christian is a joy, it's a happiness at obeying the gospel of Christ. But having embraced Christianity, having realized that we have escaped the pollution of the world, and we are now enjoying the bliss of His fellowship, as Christians, the stark reality is that we can, that Christians have, and we may fall. But before we go on to the but, we want to scan for a few minutes several examples of persons who have fallen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Here we see two characters, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And the commentary that we have of these two brothers is that they did not hold the faith. They did not have a good conscience. Their faith was shipwrecked, and they were delivered to Satan. And so we begin to see already that, and we can just imagine that when these brothers came into the fold, that like so many others, they were excited. But as time went by, they did not hold on to their faith. And so what I'm saying to us is that we should constantly examine ourselves to ensure that we do not run our faith into a shipwreck to the point where God delivers us to Satan. But not only Alexander and Hymenaeus, but when we scan further into 2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 4 through 10, then we encounter another brother by the name of Demas. And we are told in this account, you want, all right, let's pick up at verse, for time's sake, verse 7.
I have fought a good fight.
This is Paul talking.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, this is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
You can stop there for a while. So while we are here, and we're going to be coming to a character, Demas, what we see here is that Paul was ending his day, his time, and he was saying, guess what? I have not fallen. I have been in this fight, and I have been doing well. I am expecting a crown of righteousness, and that's what all of us want. But let's continue reading.
And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
So Paul is saying, we don't have to fall. We too can get a crown. Read.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me.
Yes.
For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world.
Stop. So here is another character, Demas. Right, we are at 2 Timothy chapter 4, we are at verse 8. And we are seeing here that Demas forsook the apostle, the teachings, and he stopped following the apostles, Paul in particular. And what we see here is that when that happens, then there is no crown of righteousness that he will be embracing. You know, they say, take sleep and mark death. That we have seen others fall, then we too need to be careful, because we too can fall. So notice here that these three brothers, Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Demas, that they ended up forsaking the faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, we are told that if we seek to hold on to the law, then we are fallen from grace. And this is a warning to us, that we cannot be saying that we are trying to embrace Christianity and still hold on to the law. So we can fall from grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 26 gives us a picture of the wavering Christian. And we are told that this Christian forsakes the assembling of themselves. But God sees this as willful sinning. And the end result is that there are no more sacrifices for sin. So we could go on and on, talking and showing cases where persons have fallen from the faith. Sometimes it is on doctrinal matters. And guess what? We are told from, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So it is not a surprise when we see even among our own selves persons departing from the faith. Sometimes on doctrinal matters, but other times it is just lack of faith. In fact, we are told about the unbelieving heart in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Because sometimes we may get the impression that, you know, it's only when I curse out Christianity, it's only when I go to some denomination that I've really fallen from faith. But we can fall by just having an unbelieving heart. Let's have verse 12 and 13 of Hebrews 3.
Take heed, brethren,
yes,
lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
An evil heart of unbelief.
In departing from the living God.
In departing from the living God. So if we turn away from Christ, then we are in a state of falling. We have turned away, we have departed from Almighty God. Read.
But exhort one another daily.
So what we should do is to exhort one another, to encourage one another. So what I'm doing here, in terms of this lesson, to encourage us, that's what we need to be doing to each other on a daily basis. So let us exhort one another
daily.
Daily.
While it is called today.
While it is called today.
Lest any of you be hardened.
So you don't want to get yourself in a situation where you are hardened, where the word of God no longer has any influence and can't penetrate your heart, your mind towards right anymore.
Through the deceitfulness of sin.
Through the deceitfulness of sin. That's verse 13?
That's the end of 13.
One of the things we see here is that when we have an unbelieving heart, it is seen by Almighty God as something sinful and evil. You know, we say, well, that's not so bad. It's not like I'm trying to get anybody. I'm not like the Sabbath keepers who are trying to go back to the law. But whatever it is that would cause us to move away, to turn back, to depart from the living God, is considered to be sinful and evil. So what are we talking about? Christians have, Christians can, and we as Christians may fall. But. And for the next few minutes, let me talk a little about that but. We can fall. Christians have fallen. But we can be kept from falling. That's an assurance that we get from the Word of God. Jude 24 and 25. We are told that if we stick to Christ, then He will keep us from falling. He will be able to present us to God as faultless. Read.
Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling.
So unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. Now, what we have been saying, you know, that Christians have. Alright, now we have looked at several examples. And we look around ourselves, among us, and unless you just became a member of the church, you can identify persons who were once faithful members, but over time they have given up. But we are now being told, read again.
Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling.
we are told that there is somebody that is able to keep us from falling. I say, who that is? Is that the minister that can keep us from falling? Is that a group of faithful men and faithful sisters that can keep us? Read on.
And to present you faultless.
Not only can this him keep us from falling, but he has the ability to present us to Almighty God faultless. You mean sinful us who are subject to sin can be presented faultless to Almighty God? Who is that him? But continue reading.
Before the presence of his glory, yes, with exceeding joy, to the only wise.
Stop there just a second. We started off the lesson saying that when we think back to when we became Christians, it brought joy. Yes? At the end of our time, joy can continue. It is not a pie-in-the-sky thing to say, well, I have become a Christian, and 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, 60 years later, I cannot have joy in what I started. We can.
Amen.
And it's interesting how the joy is amplified. Read that portion again for me.
And to present you faultless.
And to present you faultless, read.
Before the presence of his glory.
Yes.
With exceeding joy.
With exceeding joy. So the joy is not just a thank you joy. It's an exceeding, it's a rich, it's a wealthy joy.
To the only wise God or
to the
Savior.
The only wise God
or Savior.
So that's the hymn. So if we stick with Jesus Christ, our Savior, then he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless to his Father. And we can experience exceeding joy. But not only just holding on to Christ. And somebody say, well, if I'm a Christian, I'm holding on to Christ. Can I tell you that while as Christians we may fall, we can be kept from falling. In fact, our calling and election can be sure. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 gives us a formula, so to speak, or hints at a formula that will ensure that we will never, ever fall. Question: are we interested in such a formula? Are we interested to know what this recipe is that can cause us to never fall? Cause us to have an election and a calling that is sure. But let's see what that verse says.
Wherefore the rather, brethren,
yes,
give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So it says give diligence. So it's something that you have to pay close attention to. You don't just come and just go on, and then it's going to work out. It's something that you have to pay attention to. Continue.
For if ye do these things.
So if you do these things.
Ye shall never fall.
You shall never fall. Isn't that a wonderful assurance? That there are some things that we can do. And we are assured that if we do it diligently, we will never, ever, 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 ever fall. I won't cover those things in this lesson. But I can say, if you read 2 Peter chapter 1 and start at verse 1, there is a formula. There are some things we can do. And if we do these things, we get the assurance that we will never, ever fall. The ball is in our court. So as Christians, we can. Christians have. Christians may fall, but we have an assurance that we can be kept from falling. The last point I want to make is that even when we fall, we can be restored. Even when we fall, we can be restored. You know, we are told that we should live a repentant life. You know, 2 Corinthians, we read it earlier, or referenced it earlier. We are encouraged to examine ourselves. If you give me just a few minutes, then I would encourage us to scan with me in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where John was writing to the churches in Asia. So there were 7 congregations in Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philippi, Laodicea. And in writing to these congregations, these churches of Christ scattered throughout this region, he made a commentary on each. And this is interesting, that while God and Christ looks at the church, and he has even made some assurance to the church globally that it will never be overcome, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, that assurance does not necessarily follow for each congregation. And so when Paul wrote to one of these congregations, it was not the same commentary. Just the same when Paul wrote to the various congregations, and while in some instances he would say, as I said to this congregation, you must do the same, and all the churches of Christ. But over and over, we see that the Lord looks at the peculiar or each congregation. And I would want to extend that. That even while God will look at our location, the Patrick City Church of Christ, he's also looking at the individual member, and he has a commentary on each of us. What am I talking about? We are saying that Christians have, Christians can, Christians may fall, but, and we're saying, when they do fall, they can be restored. For the congregation in Ephesus, after John gave his commentary in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 2, he says to them,
remember therefore from whence thou art fallen.
So he recognized that there has been some falling.
And repent. And do.
And his recommendation, his instruction to them, is that they repent. Pergamos, verse 16. So he's now commenting, and time will not allow us to look at this commentary about each. Well, in verse 16, as he writes to the congregation in Pergamos, he says,
repent.
Repent.
Or else I will come unto thee quickly.
Or else I will come to you quickly. So here it is, that they too would have fallen below the expectation of Christ. And his thing is that you can be restored. All hope is not gone. But it is important that we repent. Thyatira, in verse 21, he had this to say.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication.
So here it is that this congregation, he held them in very low esteem. And he's saying, I gave them an opportunity to repent. So again, the importance of repenting. Let us examine ourselves to ensure that we are still in the faith. In chapter 3 and verse 3, he makes a commentary on the congregation in Sardis. What was his commentary?
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent.
Hold fast and repent. So here again, so if we looked earlier up, what we would see, his commentary, it was that it was not all flattering. And so his thing was again, repent. Similarly, the Laodiceans, in verse 19, they too were encouraged to repent. It is interesting that Smyrna and Philadelphia did not get this instruction. But when we look closely at these, the commentary made on them, it was positive. And so what we see, and it's a learning, wherever we find ourselves falling, let us take the opportunity to repent. Let us not be so proud and be careful of the eyes that are watching us, that we fail to repent. Let us not look and say, well, but when I go and repent, everybody going to be saying, I'm not a good Christian, or she's not a good Christian. Let us not look beside the person and say, well, that person is not going up, so I'm not going up. These congregations were all in the same location. But there were some who were doing well. The commentary made by Christ was positive. They did not repent. They were not encouraged to repent. None of us are perfect, you know. But what we are saying is that there are situations that will call for one person. Notice I'm leaving from congregation to personal. We call for one person to need to repent because they are falling. But that doesn't... So you don't look to say, well, this other isn't repenting, so I'm not going to repent. It is... Okay, well, John in writing, he didn't just pull everybody together and say, everybody repent. There is a record being kept of each. Of each congregation, of each person in each congregation. Just so, for completeness, let me still go, I was tempted to just jump it, but let me look at Simon the sorcerer. So this is not a congregation now. This is not a church. This is an individual. So let us think for a while and say, well, you know, from the look of things, the only person that need to repent are churches. But here we see in Acts chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, that here is a convert. Here is a Christian that messed up. he did wrong. He had fallen from the mark and the standard that God had set out for him. In fact, he had done so bad. You know, he was bringing serious indictment on himself because he questioned and he challenged and he disrespected the Holy Spirit. In verse 20 and verse 22, let's have that read.
But Peter said unto him,
Peter said unto him,
thy money perish with thee.
Your money perish with you.
Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
Yes.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
For thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, many of us, we can come to a point where our hearts are not right in the sight of God. It's not any one thing that brings us to this state. And Peter did not ease up on Simon. He told him straight, your state is not good. Continue reading.
Repent therefore of this.
His prescription, his recommendation was just like we saw in John. As he wrote, as we see all of these commentaries on these different congregations. His recommendation was,
Repent. Therefore of this thy wickedness.
Repent of your wickedness.
And pray God.
And pray to God.
If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee.
So we have to repent. You know, you realize how much time I talk about repent? Because it is at the heart. It makes no sense that we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, and then we do not repent. That's at the heart of us pleasing God. So Christians may fall, but we have an assurance that we can be kept from falling. And two, even when we fall, we can be restored if we are willing to repent.
Amen.
In the event that there is someone here who is not yet a part of the family, then it is not sufficient for you to just repent. In fact, if we look closer at Simon, we could, in Acts chapter 8, we realize that before he got to this point, when he was a sorcerer, he was not a brother yet, he had to do some things before he was considered a child of God. You know, we are told that believing, you know, he was watching and seeing what was happening, and he heard the teachings of Christ, and he believed, and he was baptized, and then he was considered to be a brother. So if you are here, and you're saying, well, all I need to do is to repent, no, that's not sufficient for you. Having heard that we have in Christ, who is our wise God, our Savior, he actually left heaven and came to earth to die for you.
Amen.
Then, having heard that and believing that, you can then repent of your sins.
Amen.
Confess him as your Lord and Savior and be baptized for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
As Christians, we are encouraged to live a repentant life.
Amen.
And tonight is no late hour. We can repent and get right with God if we recognize that we have a heart of unbelief, if we consider that we are wavering Christians and we are falling from grace, then tonight is as good a time as any to make that resolve to repent and come back home. to Almighty God. Invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation.